Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
At some point in our life, we learn to appreciate the finer things. Small batch, top shelf, handcrafted, American made. Something you can touch, smell, and feel. The kind of experience you won't get with the click of a mouse or a swipe of your touchscreen. It's real. It's Jacques. Jacques is America's only luxury nudie magazine for those of us who know the good old days are happening here and now. A full-featured erotic magazine boasting full-page nude pictorials of real, beautiful women in America today were never retouched. And unlike anything you've experienced before, framed with edgy editorial, outspoken opinion, and effortless class, Jacques is the magazine your father kept hidden under his mattress, but you display proudly on your coffee table. Appreciate the finer things. Discover Jacques. The world will never be the same again. Visit Jacques-mag.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am super intrigued by today's guest. We have Brian Sloan, who is the inventor of the auto blow. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm super. Good. I was going to say good morning, but I guess it's morning for me. It's evening for you.
So yeah.
Good evening to you.
Because you are right now, you're in China, right?
Right. I'm in China.
That's cool. I'm going to definitely ask you more about that. But first, I'm going to ask you to explain for the nice folks, what is the auto blow?
The auto blow is a blowjob machine that I invented, I guess a couple years ago, but we crowdfunded it last year on Indiegogo. And yeah, it's a blowjob machine with three sizes of interchangeable sleeves. And it plugs into the wall while you use it. It's powerful. So that's kind of what makes it different than other such devices.
So you were just thinking, like, of all the other blowjob devices out there, what is lacking is torque. there's not enough steam behind it.
That's the truth. I mean, before the auto blow, automated devices for men were built like as novelties. You know, a battery powered device. Even now, that you know, kind of copies that people have come out with at the auto blow that are battery powered, they don't have enough torque. That's the problem with batteries. So yeah, that was actually the problem with torque.
All right. So yeah. What is
yeah.
So the experience then for the user is better when it's more powerful, is what I'm hearing.
Right. Well, I mean, you're right. The problem previously with battery operated devices is that when you put your penis in, it would stop. Because they weren't built with the kind of motor that could handle the load of of that much kind of friction on it. So yeah, I mean, powerful works because it actually works. It doesn't stop when you put your penis in.
Okay, so this from my experience, this is reminding me of the sort of the vibrators that have like pearls in them. I don't know if you've seen these. So it's like it'd be like a rabbit style vibe where there's like the dildo part, and around that it would sort of rotate these little pearls. And the problem was that, like, anybody who had anything for PC muscles, they would just like squeeze them to a stop, and it was like pointless.
So, exactly. There are a lot of sex toys that are actually made only as novelties that work when no one's using them, but when the people are using them, they actually stop working, but people bought them because of the idea that they would actually work, which is a normal thing to think. But when you manufacture these things, you understand that there are cost choices that go into things, and most cost choices are to make people purchase things and not to necessarily enjoy them after they've purchased them.
Mm.
So yeah, that is the problem exactly with those kind of vibrators.
It seems to me like a lot of this problem is also because there's no, because in so many states, sex toys aren't even legally able to be sold as sex toys usable by a person. But again, as novelties, like there's no oversight. There's no sort of like way to ascertain whether the things you're buying are like body safe or like if they're going to work at all or not just completely fall apart immediately.
Well, I think that the same laws that apply to other consumer goods also apply to sex toys, right? I think the safety debate is real. And in Europe, the toys have to pass different tests than they have to pass in the U.S. But at the same time, there's many things that people use that maybe are unhealthy, but don't like have a direct link to killing them. Right. Hmm. I mean, other than sex toys, there are plenty of like we drink from cups that have all kinds of weird chemicals on them. And yeah. I mean, everything kills you a little bit. Right. So I don't know in the U.S. Are the toys safer in Europe because of this? Probably. But does it have an effect on keeping people alive longer? This would be really hard to ascertain, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's definitely some sort of connection with phthalates, which is an issue in a lot of sex toys and has also been an issue in, like, children's toys and things that, like, little kids would, like, put in right. their mouths. So there's definitely a thing there because I think that is something where they're starting to have government regulation because, like, little kids have, like, deleterious health effects from, like, putting things in their mouth that, like, aren't really meant for bodies.
Yeah, right. The laws, I think, now exist for children, but they don't exist for vibrators or dildos,
yeah.
which might have the same chemical, that's for sure.
Yeah. So before you made the auto blow, like, was this, like, something that was close to the field you were already in? Like, where did you come from before?
Yeah, I was already, I was living in China since 2007, mostly making sex toys and websites. So, yeah, okay, it's a long story, but I moved here. At first, I had a brand of latex fetish wear. I started on eBay in like 2006, importing latex fetish wear from China, and I had like an eBay store, basically. And the more I sold on eBay, the more I realized I should have my own brand. I sold it like under no brand previously. So long story short, I moved to China where I had an e-commerce website made and I learned how to do internet marketing to sell the latex brand around the world online to people. And then when I was living here, as I was searching for like more kind of things to sell and how to expand my business, I realized that the sex toy industry was run by people basically over 50 and in many cases over 60 who didn't use the power of the internet to sell their products to people directly. Nearly the whole industry sells to distributors who sell to resellers who sell to people. And by the time a person gets the item, the price has been marked up like, I don't know, times 8 or times 10 from its manufacturing price, right? So I just saw a lot of room there to make products and sell them, make sex toys and have like internet-only brands. So I've had internet-only brands of toys then for years. There's Ladygasm, Mangasm. And I had made the original Autoblow, which was a battery-powered device, and just sold them directly. So I was like not anywhere in the industry. I was just someone online. You would never know who made those brands, but they were websites, and we sold on Amazon as well. So it grew from there. But when it exploded was when I finally, like, I took 3 years to develop the Autoblow 2, and then when that finally came out, then I think the business really exploded from there.
So a lot of people were really excited for this. There was a market that was like waiting.
Yeah, that there was. And there was a market who was waiting. And I knew that these people were waiting because it doesn't make sense. I mean, everything else in the world is becoming, I mean, people have to do less and less to get what they want, right? You can have Siri tell you, you know, like everything you want to know, you know, you don't have to look at maps anymore. In the manufacturing, robots are doing a lot of work. So there's this trend towards people doing less and like things doing more for people. So when I was thinking about how men masturbate, they're still really doing it themselves, just with some devices that give them the, you know, the kind of acute physical sensation that it's not their hand, you know, that different masturbators have different textures, so maybe it feels a little bit more realistic, but they're still doing the work themselves. So I just knew that in this field also, if I could give guys something that gave them the feeling of someone else doing something to them, that that people would be interested in and they would want to buy it.
So in terms of the Autoblow experience, like what about it feels realistic versus what is just like pure mechanics? Like what sort of real life experience is it supposed to be like?
Okay, well, first, the product makes a sound. It makes noise, okay? So in this way, it's not a silent product. It's not like making noises like another person, right? It's making a mechanical sound, right? Mm-hmm. But I think more important than the sound it makes is the fact that once you put your penis into it, right? I mean, normally people are used to like moving something up and down over their penis to have an orgasm. So they feel like I'm doing something to myself. Mm-hmm. But when the, you know, you put your penis and you control the speed of the up and down motion. And there are some positions where you can hold it on your penis with your hand, or you can kind of lay down and your penis is just in this device. So it really does. I mean, psychologically, you do have the feeling like something is happening to you. Mm-hmm. And it's a new experience for people to have an orgasm, for men at least, to have an orgasm that's actually hands-free. It's psychologically kind of a different feeling.
Oh, wow. So that must have, like, it must be a pretty tight fit if you don't have to use your hand to, like, hold it on, if you're just, like, laying there.
No, you have to use your hand. If you want to, like, sit back and hold it, you need to hold it with your hand. Okay. But there are different positions where you can, like, lay down on your stomach and you can put yourself into it, or kind of on your side. There are positions where you could put yourself into it without having to necessarily hold it.
That also like immediately came to mind as an option for somebody who's got like limited mobility, like someone who doesn't have the hand dexterity, for instance, to either masturbate on their own or to even use like a traditional masturbator sleeve. Like that seems like a really viable option for a lot of folks with various
abilities. Yeah, we have hundreds of emails from guys who can't use their hands for various reasons, and I know a lot of them are customers. So they often, I've asked a lot of them, please like report back, you know, your experience. Actually, we made a handle accessory, which is especially good for people with limited mobility. But I tried so many times because sometimes I tell the customer service to pass these emails on to me because I want to know who these people are and or know what we can do to make the product better for them. But unfortunately, very few of them follow up after they purchase the product, or even I've sent out a lot of products for free to these guys who email like, oh, I have this and that problem. I really can't afford this. I would like it for free, but I'm going to like really tell you what it's like, you know, when I use it. And I thought, oh, this is great. And after sending out, I don't know, like at least 20 to these guys and not receiving a single contact after I sent it, I stopped sending them out. I stopped sending them out for free.
That's awful.
To them. But yeah, it is because the guys would email and I would say, look, man, we've gotten so many emails like this and no one ever contacts. Are you really going to like give me a kind of report about how it's going? Boy, I super promise.
I've not gotten a single one.
So I stopped. But I know a lot of these guys are customers. So yeah, because there isn't anything else that they can use when they can't really use their hands.
Fair enough. So what else do you have in store? Like, do you have other products that you're working on now or other ones that are currently available?
Sure. You mean like of all kinds of different products?
Oh, I'm super interested. I'm pretty sure whatever you say, I'm going to be like, this is fascinating.
First, we have a whole line. I have a whole line of vibrators and dildos and fake vaginas. But we sell them on Ladygasm and Mangasm.com, but we also sell them on Amazon under the brand names Ladygasm and Mangasm. And I had another crowdfunding campaign for this female vibrator called Flap Happy, which is a vibrator that you can bend and you can spank with. And soon there's Flap Happy Plus. And now on Indiegogo, I have a campaign for a male product called 3FAP, which is the first masturbator with three different orifices on it.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on at once.
So
and we're always kind of,
the three different orifices. So is the intention there that like, oh, it's Tuesday, I'm in the mood for this one? Or is it like, boop, 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 boop? Or is it like, I'm going to call some buddies and have them come over? Like, what are you thinking is going to happen?
I think it's your second option. It's boop, 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 boop. It's that, you know, I mean, normally, I mean, the idea is that, and people have kind of made fun of the product on the internet because it's a little bit ugly and it's big, but that's what it is. What it is, it has different textures. Each orifice has a different texture, and you can control the suction level of each channel independently. So normally, if you wanted to have three different, you know, people buy different masturbators because they offer different sensations. So a guy might have a drawer full of masturbators, not a drawer full. Well, some guys have a drawer full, but some guys have a few that have different textures. But my idea with 3FAP was that you can move your penis from hole to hole to hole. You know, and by the way, one is like a vagina, one's a mouth, one's a butt. Huh. And I'll have other ones which are like three vaginas or three butts. So people can get right to the point, you know, of what they like. Mm-hmm. But each time you move your penis, you can have a different sensation, and that's different than like holding two different products in your hand.
Okay.
I think it's an advantage over what's available, although it looks odd.
So how much space is this taking up? Like, what are the dimensions?
Yeah, it's not a small product. It's, I don't know, it's like maybe 9 inches tall by like maybe 9, 10 inches wide by maybe 3, 4 inches thick. Okay. So it's like a book. It's like you're masturbating with kind of an encyclopedia.
All right.
You can go on Indiegogo right now if you have a computer and just search 3FAP, and you can see what it looks like. But anyway, this is at least one efficient way to move from hole to hole to hole. People are good at kind of talking smack, but let them come up with a better design and produce it then.
It also, you know, it fulfills the fantasy for ass to mouth without getting anybody sick too, you know? So I'm on board
right.
with that.
No one's getting sick over this ass to mouth feat.
Yeah. All right. So
is that a fantasy? Do you think is that a fantasy?
It's a thing that's in porn, you know, and I think from what I've gathered, there's a lot of stuff that people are like basically into because they've seen it in porn and not necessarily that it's like intrinsic to their interests or even that they like came across it in porn like, oh, that's the thing I've been wanting my whole life. But it's just like I've jerked off to this happening. So now I'm sort of conditioned to want this. And I think that ass stuff particularly, it's just like so ubiquitous in porn at this point that it's like, it's not even that the experience of like ass fucking is somehow categorically better. It's just that it's like conditioning to be like, oh yeah, ass fucking. That's what we do. That's just what we do. And it's really interesting because like on the downside of it, there's a whole generation of like very young men, like technically boys, who are socialized to think that like anal sex is like a realistic expectation they should be making of like, you know, someone that they're casually dating. And there's like all these young girls who are like, oh yeah, but like that's kind of a lot to ask, especially if somebody is not like really experienced in anal play and don't really know how to go about it in a way that's like pleasurable, where it's mostly just about like the person who's inserting, like having this sort of like access to it. So I don't know. I'm super stoked that all of these teenage boys can go fuck your product instead of like making a 15-year-old girl do it, I guess.
You're making it their girlfriend to ask them out. I'll bet you that porn has turned people sexually more violent than they maybe used to be, or at least violent earlier in their sexual like life. You know, I mean, a lot of porn is like, it's like very intense stuff. And I guess if you're starting to see this, because I'm 35 now, so when I was like in high school, I could really only get my hands on normal porn. Like I had to get DVDs from the porn man in high school, or I could download a few things, but they were fairly normal compared to what became available, like say by the time I got to college. like around 98 or 2000. Like then you could start to see some crazy stuff. And now it's become really violent. But yeah, so I don't know how it'd be different if the first stuff I saw was like payfucking.com or whatever when I was 15. Yeah, it might change how I thought about sex.
Yeah, the research is really mixed because, ultimately, there's such a diversity of people and their level of, like, introspection around their sexuality and their level of, like, just cognition around, like, you know, relationships with other people and stuff. So it's really mixed. Like, so for most of the research shows that for some folks, like, viewing a lot of, especially violent porn and really degrading, like misogynistic porn, does make it easier to have misogynistic attitudes, does make it more likely that someone will hold these really aggressive beliefs around sexuality. But on the other end of the spectrum, there are people who may have gotten sexuality education that actually teaches them how to view porn in a critical way. Like, we need media literacy in general, like to be able to like watch movies without being like, oh, this is all realistic because it's on the TV right now. Just to be able to like parse out like how to be able to tell dramatic storytelling and like why certain people are on the screen at certain times and like what the messages are, blah, 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 blah. So like people who get any sort of like training about how to consume porn actually can view it and develop much better attitudes towards women and sexuality. So, and there's also like a lot of really sex positive, pleasure focused feminist porn now, and there didn't necessarily used to be. So it really depends on what you find, because like, yeah, if you're just going for like the extreme stuff, that's going to be really challenging for you in real life. But if you can find like pleasure focused porn where everybody's having a good time, like that could be huge. That can make you like a baller, like, and your partners are gonna be happy and like everything's gonna be great and then rainbows and blah. Yeah.
So how do you condition young people to understand the difference?
Well, my outlook is always education. So every, you know, like education is my hammer, so the world's, you know, a bunch of nails. And I'm of the opinion that we need more media literacy training in general, you know, just how to be able to, you know, even watch the news intelligently. But just sexuality education that includes discussions of pleasure, like, because that's why people have sex. That's a real reason why people have sex. It fucking feels good. And because they want to make other people feel good. And that's a reason. And so if we have sexuality education that acknowledges that as a real thing and isn't just like, if you have sex, you'll get pregnant and die. If we stop doing that and we actually have information and we actually have discussions about feelings and about desires and about, you know, anatomy and how stuff works, if we can actually have these conversations, people are prepared for real life and they don't have to do horrible things to each other in the interim.
Yeah, this makes sense, huh?
All right, so you have other products coming out. You've got the Auto Blow. You have an Indiegogo campaign, and if people want to see this happen, like, where do they go? Where do they find out more?
If the people would like to fuck the three orifices, oh wait, there is one interesting thing about 3FAP though.
Okay,
and it's that, you know, earlier this year I had a worldwide vaginal beauty contest online. Yeah, it's at vaginacontest.com. And to make a long story short, 3 million votes were cast on 200 vulvas that were uploaded to the website from every country in the world except for North Korea and Chad.
Wow.
So it was really a worldwide effort. And in the end, I 3D scanned. I met the women in Berlin. I met three winners plus three runners-up. And I 3D scanned their vulvas, mouths, and anuses. To create a 3D scanned orifice library that I'm going to use for my future products and for 3FAP. So actually, when they, if someone would use 3FAP, I'm going to put the three vulvas of the three winners of the beauty contest onto the top of the product, in the vulva version. And so anyway, all the orifices will come from real 3D scans from the women from the vaginal beauty contest. But anyway, if they're interested in such things, they can, probably easier if they just Google Indiegogo 3FAP, like the number 3 and then FAP, or or even just search 3FAP in Google, and they'll easily find the Indiegogo campaign link there.
Okay, so we are going back to the vulva beauty contest for a second, because I want to know, like,
yeah,
what were the categories? Was there like an interview portion? Was there like swimsuit? Like, what did people find particularly attractive? What was like, what did the three winners have in common? That sort of thing.
Well, so we did something interesting. So first, no, there was no, all you had to do was pull down your pants and take a picture of your vulva. So it's a fairly easy contest to enter. But you also had to put a little piece of paper in the photo that said Autoblow Vaginal Beauty Contest. So we only approved for that reason 200. We had like maybe 2,000 submissions, but kind of incorrectly submitted vulvas. So we approved the 200 vulvas, and so the interesting thing is that after we started the contest, I realized I had so much data, because there were so many votes being cast and so many visitors from different countries, that I hired a data scientist, and we wrote a scientific paper using the data from the contest, and it's called the Vulva Paper, and it's at vulvapaper.com. So the Vulva Paper, and actually it's interesting, because as we did research, as he did, the data scientist did research for the paper, I found that this kind of research hasn't really been done on a large scale about, what I wanted to know was which kind of vulvas did men vote for, right? Just because I could know this from the data. So we classed the vulva. The guy was actually an oceanologist. So he treated the vulvas kind of like, you know, like a new species or something. And we came out with six classes depending on the protrusion of the labia, how wrinkly the labia were, and like the distance between some various points. And so we came out with six classes. And then we were able to know the preferred classes. And the interesting thing is that the most preferred class out of the six was the kind of least dangly, most kind of closed style of vulva, which we call the class one. But if we added class one and class two together, which were like the more closed ones, and class three through six were the ones that had dangling labia, and moving from class three to six from less to more dangly, we actually had about a 50-50 split in preference. You know, so, you know, maybe it was like 35% of people preferred the type one, but type one plus two plus, you know, divided by class three through six, that was about even. So that was interesting to know that because I know that now like labiaplasty is a thing, which I think is weird, but people are doing this. So in this way, it actually showed that preference, at least from our, you know, set of voters, which was a lot of people, had an equal preference for the dangly or non-dangly labia.
That's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, there's a wide variety.
Power, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of different types
there's a wide variety. Right. But you know, there's this website I saw before. It's called realself.com. Have you ever seen this website or heard of this?
I don't know if I have.
So it's a website where people go, like before they have plastic surgery, and they like talk about it, and then they post their before and after pictures of their plastic surgery. Okay. And you can find the labiaplasty section in that website. I found this when I was doing the research. I'm just telling you because maybe you'll think it's interesting. I found this doing the research about the, you know, vulva beauty contest. There's a website where women go and like discuss their labiaplasty, and then they post their before and after pictures there. And it's like a huge thread. It's not like there's five people in this thread. There's like thousands of people in this thread. And it's for all different kinds of plastic surgery. So anyway, what we found is that men don't really care which style it is. They like them all equally. So that was like a nice finding, I think.
That is nice. And I mean, I think like anybody who has like an attraction to vulvas, I feel like you should be like, yeah, vulvas are great. Like, they have different strong suits, you know, they're just different experiences. But yeah, there are only certain ones that are represented in porn a lot. That's, I think, where the issue comes up.
That's what people say. But I haven't seen like super dangly, like class, what I call them, class six, really represented that much in porn. But I think all the other classes are part of their.
I think I'm speaking more to like the produced porn that's like, you know, there's like a budget and there's like a gaffer, you know. Like I think in that right. kind of porn there's a very limited representation. Like when we talk about the stereotypical porn aesthetic versus like what most people actually are doing anymore is really like gravitating towards the amateur seeming stuff, you know. So then you're going to see a lot more range right. of experience. Yeah.
Like right. Yeah, I think it's true also because it's clear that, yeah, and actually in one of the studies I read, you know, preparing to write this, the vulva paper, people searched these photos in magazines actually. Right. And, you know, they airbrush out, like say Maxim or this kind of like, you know, clothes, girly magazine mm-hmm. like that. They actually, when women are like, have their legs kind of spread and they're wearing a bikini, none of them have any visible labia
yeah.
because they airbrush them out,
yeah.
right? But we know that this isn't how vulvas look, that there are labia that would be visible through a swimsuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people, women, and then men think that it's not normal because they never see them in media because they've been airbrushed out.
Yeah.
But this is like kind of a weird thing. This is like what the thing I learned during the process of making this paper. I never thought about the fact that they were airbrushed out, but they are.
And Australian porn specifically too, if the like inner labia are visible, they have to be airbrushed out of the porn, like, because that is somehow obscene. Like the reality of humans has to be like constrained. It's really upsetting. The Australian porn laws are insane. They're completely nutbags. So like
wow.
you can't have like it's ridiculous. It's anything from like you can't have BDSM depicted in Australian porn. There's no, like, no bodily fluids. So like squirting isn't legal. Well, no female bodily fluids. That's considered illegal in Australian porn. Like just a bunch of stuff that's just like, that's not okay. And also unnecessary. So
yeah, it's weird. You can have sex in the movie, but don't have an orgasm where anything comes out of your body.
Yeah,
because that would be awkward.
Think of the children, though. Think of all the children
right,
watching your porn.
Children came into existence, right? That's the weird thing because sex is how people are called.
Yeah,
so when people are
a lot of
against
people.
It's bizarre because it's like that's where you came from.
It's like the number one instinct that we have. It's the reason that we have dominated the planet. But yeah, let's all act like it's not real. That's fine. Yeah, that's totally grown up. That's it.
Yeah.
that's a very
yeah,
realistic.
This is how it is.
Yeah. All right. So, so Brian, I know we're running short on time. So just one more shout out. So where can people find all your products? Like all of the things, where can they hit you up with questions and they can ask you for free things and you can tell them no, like, where do we go?
Yeah, that sounds really fun. They can go for the Autoblow to autoblow2.com. They can back ReFap on Indiegogo. They want to see Slap Happy. They can go to slaphappy.com. If they want to email me, they can go to my company website, vieci.com, and they can just submit a contact up, and it'll actually come right to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what they'd want to ask. What would they want to ask?
I don't know. How are you doing? Like, how's your afternoon? I don't know. If your message or anything like mine, they're all just like, hey. And then that's it. And then I don't ever respond.
No, mine look like this. Hi, I would love to try this or that product, but unfortunately I don't have any money for it. So could you just send one for free? Thank you. We get a lot of these.
That's unreasonable. So the business person to me is like, you should get like a credit card and be like, cool, as soon as I get your review, you know, we'll be good and I'll just destroy this. But in 30 days, if I don't have a review from you, I'm going to charge you. Cool. Great. You know, that's where I would go with that.
This is, I've offered people this to do some home videos with the product. Is it okay? You know, cause I want some videos of guys using the product. If there's any guys that want to use the product and post a video like to XTube or something, this I would refund them easily for. If they would do such a thing, but a few people come through in the end when it comes to hitting post on their video of themselves masturbating. The team dropped off a bit.
Man, so, they're a bunch of punks.
I don't know. Yeah.
You're dealing with a bunch of punks. All right. Well, Brian, I want to thank you so much. This has been super fun. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So, okay, me too. Have a super night there.
Yeah. So thank you so much to Brian for coming on. Everybody go check out all of these awesome products. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a fantastic night. Hey, friends and family of Sex with Timmery. We are so grateful to have your listenership. We have the coolest fans in the world. It's pretty much the best. And we hope that the love is mutual. If you are interested in supporting the Sex with Timmery media, either the website, the podcast, head on over to patreon.com/sexwithtimmery and become a supporter. For as little as $1 a month, you can be a regular supporter and continue to bring independent media that provides the kind of information that you want to have out in the world. Over here at Sex with Timmery, we have been doing this stuff for years. As you've noticed, we've got over 200 episodes. The Sex with Timmery website has been up since 2008. We've been giving you the goods for absolutely no cost, and we will continue to do so as long as we can. So thank you so much for your listenership, and we do hope that you will check it out. Patreon.com/sexwithtimmery. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.